How have you not seen this?
If you've not seen this, as always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my guest host, Chris Clem.
Yo!
Noelia Bowersox.
Hello!
And our very special guest, the handsome and inimitable Tom Plute.
Oh, I'm special. I don't know if that's a good special or a bad special.
Well, inimitable means there ain't nobody can copy you. You're like the old dirty bastard.
Use big words and I lost.
There ain't no father to your style, like the old dirty bastard. Yeah. We just watched Guardians of the Galaxy. Not the newest movie we've done on here. It's only just edged out by a few weeks by Expendables 3.
Yeah.
It is, however, the first time we have dove into anything with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I think is really bizarre because we're almost 80 episodes into this podcast and I'm a gigantic fucking nerd. And I haven't done any of the Marvel movies somehow, which is really interesting. I hadn't thought about that before. This is a great movie, fucking a lot of fun, directed by James Gunn, who did Slither and Super, which are both really great, really dark, really funny movies. Cast is phenomenal. Soundtrack, they did a huge promotion for it where it was like free on Google Play for a day, and I think everybody and their mom got that soundtrack. It's so good.
I paid $10 for it the day after.
Yeah. Yeah, did you?
I'm gonna turn it over. I'm gonna let Chris say a few things because Chris is also a gigantic fucking nerd. You can't see this because why could you? It's a podcast. Chris wearing a Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirt today.
It's like you're literally wearing the t-shirt of the band you're going to see.
Yeah.
I do that too. It's an honor to be on a podcast using the microphone from the doorway at Jabba's Palace.
That's the blue snowball. For any of you nerds who want to do a Star Wars cosplay, but don't have the money that cosplayers do for their costumes.
You gotta paint it brown, I think.
Yeah. And they go, I think that's pretty close to the sound.
Oh, it is. That's basically it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you gotta ask somebody to be C-3PO and say, I don't think they're gonna let us in.
There you go. Well, Tom Plute, your C-3PO. He always struck me as the Anthony Daniels of Columbus comedy.
The Anthony Daniels.
Well, you do go around saying, oh no, I love this. Chris, did you have anything you want to say about the movie before we get into it at all?
This is Dave Bautista's best role.
Yes.
Better than that movie with Rob Van Dam that he did. Wrong Side of the Tracks, I think was the name of it.
Oh, that's fucking ridiculous. So, Noelia has seen the movie for the most part. Tom has not, and he told me about this a couple of weeks ago, and it might be my favorite story, but Tom, Guardians of the Galaxy, how have you not seen this?
Well, Dustin, I bought a ticket to it and went to see it. Well, I didn't buy a ticket.
No, give us the full backstory.
All right. I was performing on a show in a movie theater in Asheville, North Carolina, and my payoff for the show was free tickets to any movie that I wanted to see there.
It's a pretty good payoff.
Yeah, right? It's well worth it. And
I'm driving to Asheville right now.
we went to see Guardians of the Galaxy, the midnight show, and we walked into the theater. It wasn't regular movie theater.
Right, it was
a small theater. And it was all leather couches.
Love seats, yeah.
It was fantastic. And we showed up late to the movie, so I missed the first 15 minutes right off the bat.
Pretty crucial minutes.
Right. Pretty much the whole backstory of anything. I think I watched maybe 20 minutes of the movie before I was just dead asleep in that movie theater. Woke up. Just looking at Howard with the Duck after the ending credits. I was like, what the fuck was this movie about?
Yo, an alcoholic cigar smoking duck. Yeah. Who don't take no shit, and he does not think very much of Benicio del Toro.
I was like, wait, they were chasing down an orb, and now it's Benicio del Toro and Howard the Duck. What happened?
So now that you finally managed to sit on a couch and stay awake for the entirety of the movie, what did you think?
Definitely the greatest movie I've ever slept through. Definitely number one.
I think the only one that I can boast is the remake of The Haunting with Liam Neeson and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
You slept through it.
I fell asleep 20 minutes into it. And I woke up right towards the end when everything was freaking out. And I remember waking up just in time to see a lion statue decapitate Owen Wilson. I was like, oh man, this movie got interesting at some point in the last hour.
I think it's also the loudest and most action-packed movie I've just slept through. I've never fallen asleep in a movie theater before. Unless there was leather couches involved.
Yeah.
And this movie is loud and action packed, and there's a lot of explosions and a lot of stuff going on. I was just out.
Yeah, there's a lot of space fight. It's not like watching a space fight in like Firefly or Serenity, where they're like, oh, space is a vacuum, so how can you hear a dog fight on space? Marvel's like, Marvel's like, no,
we're going to put in sound effects.
Yeah,
we don't care about physics.
That's the way to go, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's talk about some of the performance. Let's just start with Dave Bautista, since Clem's already mentioned it. Bautista fucking kills it in this movie. It's ridiculous. Like, he's so fucking good.
Who knew he was so funny?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Everybody's hilarious in this movie.
Yeah, everybody fucking knocks it out
so
of the park.
So good.
I would argue Dave Bautista has the surprising comedic timing of a Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying, like, the only other thing that I'd seen him in before this, I unfortunately did not see the RVD starring vehicle Wrong Side of the Tracks.
You bums lost me.
He was in The Man with the Iron Fist, though. The movie that RZA did. Yeah, the movie that RZA did a few years ago. I want to say, I think he was a villain.
He was also in Riddick.
He was one of the heavy... Oh, shit, yeah, I just watched Riddick. No. He was in that. I saw Riddick after I saw Guardians. So it's funny that Vin Diesel and Bautista have that there.
That.
But yeah, he wasn't bad in Riddick either, now that I think about it.
But that was much more of a role you would expect him to play.
Exactly, yeah. But this, just completely out of the park. And he's got so many funny lines. The internet does this thing, and I fucking hate it. Tumblr. Let's just call it Tumblr does this thing where they latch on to elements of movies, and they'll take, like, honest, like, truths about them or really cool things, but they'll, like, write about them in a BuzzFeed-y, clickbaity way. Ooh. They'll, like, oh, this movie totally nails it. Or this movie's, like, the only movie that needs to address this. And it's like, man, can you just write about it? Like, people, because, like, there was this huge thing where they were talking about, like, this report, basically they were saying that Batista's character, Drax the Destroyer, is very similar to, like, a person that has, like, autism. Because, like, they don't get, like, metaphors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is accurate to a point, like, that's not the case with all of them, because it's a fucking spectrum. But that, like, this movie came out, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then everybody latched on to it, and they're like, this, so much, this is like, use words.
Yeah.
Write about it like a grown-up, you jerks. Drax the Destroyer, very good character. It's great, too, because, like, all of the characters have an arc.
Yeah.
Like,
they do. Like, they all have a backstory. They all have something they've lost. They have something that makes them very interesting.
Yeah, well,
characters, every character introduced in the script basically has something that pays off.
Yeah.
Even the two random pink-skinned people at the end of the movie.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
John C. Reilly's wife and kid.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think his kid would be a little bit less pink.
Yeah,
since
he's
not, like, I think it'd be kind of like, you know.
Maybe he's a stepfather.
Yeah.
It could be.
Maybe it's not a traditional Nova Prime family.
Nova Prime.
You know, who knows? You know,
maybe he's sterile from being exposed to the Nova Force.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe he's a Nova Beta or whatever, second after Prime, I guess. Who knows? So, yeah, Batista's great. Going back into this, if I was watching this movie and I didn't know that Bradley Cooper was Rocket, I don't know that I would recognize it as Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's doing a voice as Rocket.
Yeah, it's fitting. Yeah. It's perfect. It's really good.
Yeah, it is. Or Vin Diesel. You never know Vin Diesel or Bradley Cooper.
Vin Diesel I would know solely because I just watched Iron Giant recently.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
So, like, I actually...
All he says in that movie is, "I am Iron Giant."
Yeah. I will say, some of the characters I've been most invested in have been characters Vin Diesel has voiced. Have you guys seen Iron Giant?
Yeah, I have not.
Oh my God, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
What, just Vin Diesel voicing characters is gonna tug my heartstrings every goddamn time.
Yeah.
But yeah. he's phenomenal in this. Like I said, yeah, he has the one line. And that's it.
I like Lee Pace.
Lee Pace is really good as Running the Accuser.
Shocked. Yeah. The way he talked to you, you know, it's the tinder on which you burnt, upon which you burnt.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Oh, he's very biblical in his brand.
Right?
A lot of people complain about him said he was too one-dimensional, but I think that's kind of what this movie
did. Well, revenge kind of does that. Mm-hmm. Like he's very clearly one-minded. Like, there's no redeeming factors. Like, he's a genocidal lunatic.
If he wasn't so over the top, it'd be hard to view him as a threat compared to how goofy the main characters are.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, then, and you look at, like, some of the other Marvel movies, like, you look at, like, somebody like Loki.
Yeah.
Like, even in Avengers, like, they're, especially after Hulk slaps him around like a rag doll.
Yeah.
It's
the best scene
like,
in that movie.
But then in the Thor after that, it's a little bit harder to take him as a threat. Because you see him, like, slapped around in such a cartoonish fashion.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you kind of don't take him as a threat at all.
Yeah. But Ronan, very much a threat.
Yeah. I would say probably third best Marvel villain.
Yeah, after who?
Well, I mean, third most threatening, I would say. Because Loki's probably the best, but.
Loki's pretty dope.
But he's not that threatening, like you said, in Thor 2, or even the end of the Avengers. He's a chump.
And who else?
I mean, a lot of people disagree, but I would say Red Skull, Ronan, and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. It's pretty legit.
It seems like the Captain America ones are the most serious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Without being boring, but they are pretty serious compared to, like, Iron Man 3 even.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that completely. Also, this year... was the year of Lee Pace just being all kinds of got up in costume films. Because he was this, and he was also Thranduil, the Elf King, in the Hobbit movies.
Right.
So
I didn't even realize that was who that was.
Yeah.
Until after I saw Guardians.
Side note, Lee Pace, also the star of the hit film Marmaduke.
Shut up. Is he really? That seems like a stretch.
Is he
just a bloodthirsty genocidal man? Marmaduke.
He is when Marmaduke digs up his flower bed.
He's the neighbor that loses it.
He plays Phil, the guy that owns Marmaduke. The guy's always going, "Marmaduke, no!"
Oh my God. I can't picture that.
But yeah. And then, he started.
Owen Wilson plays Marmaduke?
Oh yeah. Wait, am I the only person in this room who's seen Marmaduke?
I think so. All right, we'll be right back, guys. We gotta go watch Marmaduke.
So, Lee Pace, correct me if I'm wrong, like, his big star was Pushing Daisies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's playing Marvel villains. So that's good for Lee Pace.
Yeah.
The only other thing I remember was The Fall. Did you ever see that?
I don't think I saw
that's
that.
That's really good. It's more poetic and artsy, but I mean, it's really good. He plays
apparently he was in Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Yes, he was.
Really?
What was he in that?
He was one of the vampires.
Not that I've seen it.
He was one of the, I have, because I got drunk and I saw almost all the Twilight movies in theaters, because that's what I do.
Pretty sure I've seen
it. He's one of the vampires who, for whatever reason, in the final installment, they decided instead of making a vampire movie, that being a vampire also means that you just get random X-Men powers, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty fucking stupid. But yeah, Lee Pace was in it, because he hadn't knocked it out of the park as the Elf King or Ronan the Accuser yet.
Yeah, he's like 20th listed in the cast too.
And oh yeah, there are so many fucking people in that movie. Like that movie is like the first episode in a season of The Wire or Game of Thrones, where they just bombard you with 40 characters and expect you to remember them all. So yeah, Lee Pace phenomenal. Zoe Saldana as Gamora, who's great. Who I found out earlier this week because my roommate was watching it. Is in the Britney Spears film Crossroads.
What?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
As one of her friends, or just like a
random? As one of her friends, as one of the main characters in the film.
Of course, Lauren would know that.
Well, Lauren was watching it. So, but yeah, she's phenomenal in this movie.
What?
Oh no, what did you find out?
No, it says Britney Spears.
Why would I lie?
Anson
about
Mount
that?
And then Zoe Saldana.
Yeah, Hell on Wheels is Anson Mount.
Wait, what? Anson Mount is in that movie?
Oh yeah.
The guy from Hell on Wheels.
Yeah. Also, Dan Aykroyd is the father.
Oh, yeah. Oh my god.
That's the first picture.
Well, I gotta go home and watch this movie.
It's on Netflix, guys.
Oh my god.
Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy. Not available on Netflix, you guys. Don't download it illegally because that's illegal. But you can. You can probably also rent it on Amazon or whatever. I've been meaning to say that at the top of the episode, and I always forget to.
Why?
People have
this
internet.
Disclaimer.
Well, no, just on where they can get it.
Because
it's helpful. Because like if you want to know it's on Netflix, although people can stop complaining and just Google and see if it's on Netflix. You jerks know how the internet works.
Yeah, you're already on the internet if you're listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
I hate that when people, like, on Facebook ask questions like, do you know when this is? Like, I don't know, man. You're already on the internet. Why don't you just look it up?
Yeah. Hey, does anybody know how to change a light bulb? Use a WikiHow.
Yeah. There's YouTube videos.
But yeah, Zoe Saldana, really good in this. We're rounding the bases. Oh, Chris Pratt. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Chris Pratt.
Oh, my God. So
stupid,
hot.
Dreamy. Chris Pratt. Beautiful in this movie.
Yeah,
I love to like all the interviews where he's talking about this. Obviously, he did like a lot of like physical training to get in shape for the role, and then he talked about how much fun it was after to do the opposite of that to get back into shape for Parks and Rec.
Yeah, to get chubby again.
Yeah. And it's really good. And I also love too, like, it's almost completely unnecessary for him to be as cut as he is.
Yeah.
Like. Cause, like, you get that one unnecessary scene of him shirtless.
Right.
Not that he looks bad by any stretch.
You mean blasting him with
He gets hosed down.
Yeah. It's like...
Like, heaves.
Oh, is this your favorite scene?
No.
My favorite scene? I came twice.
Yeah. My pants got very tight during this scene.
But, he's so funny. I also love, too, like, watching this again, how difficult it has to be to write a comedic script around a character whose pop culture point of reference does not go past 1988.
Yeah.
Like, because we were doing
that. I feel like
that.
James Gunn is, like, the guy to do it. Like, he's so good at mixing action and comedy together. Like, even just, like, with Super...
Yeah.
Like, that is such a great movie that is ultra-violent and also hilarious.
Yeah, oh yeah, super funny. And, like, I almost got worried because we were watching it again, and...
That could have been a pun.
Chris Pratt makes that that joke about taking the blacklight to his ship.
Yeah.
And part of me was like, oh man, does he make a CSI reference? Because that breaks the illusion.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, Jackson Pollock fan. I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's what they're keeping the continuity. That's the last time.
How does Rocket and Drax know who Jackson Pollock is?
I assume they don't.
Right, I assume they just slough it off as like,
well,
whatever he's talking about.
Rocket's remark is, you have problems. Which... seems like accurate, but
also
seems like a complete dismissal of him getting that reference. So it totally makes sense.
But I think setting limitations for your writing makes it more fun too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even as you know, things I've written, like, okay, you have to stay, you know, 1988 or before. I think that'd be a lot of fun to use a lot of references that way.
Yeah, well, the I don't know how much this will apply to anyone. Maybe Clem. But when they rebooted a lot of the Marvel series with the Ultimate line, those books got bogged down in making pop culture references left and right, to the point where
I can think of a specific reference 100%, where in the Ultimates, Betty Ross is going on a date with Freddie Prinze Jr. and the Hulk loses it.
Yeah.
And he goes and smashes up the place they're at. And he's like, Betty, don't date Freddie Prinze Jr.
That is probably the greatest reason to Hulk out and smash something.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were bad. Like, the Spider-Man was terrible. The X-Men one, I think, was the worst about it.
That was Mark Miller writing it.
Yeah, like, at one point, like, I read a panel, and I think, like, Storm made a joke about Carson Daly. I was like, come on!
Oh, really?
And yeah, it just, like, it completely took me out of the comic.
Yeah, it would.
But, like, the first, like, six issues of Ultimate Spider-Man are bad, but after that, he kind of gets the hang on not forcing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, was that Miller or Bendis?
That was Bendis.
Okay.
But it seemed like Miller never really got it, but he's not even American either, so yeah. It could just be him be like, I know this stuff.
The Family Guy routine. Yeah. Hey, you get, comedy is just referencing things that exist, right?
Oh my god.
Man, yeah, that's fucking obnoxious. Like, out of all the Marvel movies, like, they've all been really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one is the best paced.
Yeah, it has a really good pace to it.
Like, it clocks in at, like, just over 2 hours, but, like, it moves along really consistently. Like, there's no real lulls in it at all. And it's just, like, it's, like, this, like, both times I've seen it now, like, just super quick, like, didn't get that like itch to like look at my watch. I didn't feel like maybe I would like scenes were happening that I forgot was happening. Because like Avengers is what just south of 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
like 45 of which is that final fight.
Yeah, as much as I love Avengers, the first hour is super slow paced.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And the last 40, like you said, the last 45 minutes is the one scene basically.
Yeah, but yeah, this one just really solid.
Yeah,
really digs in for it.
I have a feeling Avengers 2 won't have that problem because I think they'll just hit the ground running.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they can now. They've got all this first wave origin nonsense out of the way.
Right.
They got the whole team. Like, because even the Avengers is still the origin of their team.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right. Yeah, we get it. One of my favorite things, especially watching this again, is that, like, a lot of jokes have been made. Like, SNL did a sketch around it when Chris Pratt hosted, too, about how it's like, oh, Marvel's taking a movie about a team you've never even heard of. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, man, fuck you. Because to a point, that's every Marvel property.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, people have heard of Iron Man, but prior to that movie coming out, a lot of people didn't know shit about it. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. Like,
I mean, the two probably best-known ones were The Hulk, whose first movie didn't do that good, and Captain America, who everybody's like, how are you going to make a movie about Captain America? It's never going to work outside of America.
Yeah.
Right.
And it fucking did.
Thor, nobody was clamoring for Thor or Iron Man to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And Iron Man, like, yeah, Iron Man was a solid fucking kickoff to this whole universe.
It was.
Like, and it's still, like, I would probably still rank the first Iron Man in the top 5 Marvel movies that they've done
it's
so far.
Good.
Like, it's really good. Like, I think my only gripe is the final fight gets kind of messy and hard to follow. But aside from that, like, it's great, especially as far as an origin story is concerned. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Iron Man, out of all of the characters they've set up, has had the best origin story so far.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, handling it in the movie.
I think so.
With Captain America being a really close second.
Yeah, I like Captain America's origin. I thought that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Until he became Captain America.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it seems like, let's cram in the next 3 years of war into
a
5-minute montage.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, shit. We have to kill off Bucky Barnes and freeze Captain America with 45 minutes left. We better get on that. Pick up the pace, guys. Picante sauce. Come on, let's go.
New York City.
Oh, can't. Space worms came and smashed it. but yeah, so like all the people that made jokes about this, like, oh, I've never heard of this. Like, who gives a shit if you fucking heard of it? Like, that's such a stupid reason to say you're not interested in a movie or like you think a movie won't do well. Like, it's actually sitting in front of Chris right now, and Tom and Noelia were on for it. We did Snowpiercer
right here
recently.
I thought you just got that out for us. You know?
It's literally been sitting here since you guys came over and watched it, however many weeks ago. But like Snowpiercer, I had no clue what it was about. I knew Chris Evans was in it, and I like Chris Evans a lot. Mm-hmm. So I went and I fucking watched it, and it's honestly still is probably my favorite movie of the year. Like, it's amazing.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Most movies that come out each year, that are at least if they're an original property, you never know what it is. So
yeah, exactly. It's well, and that one's based on a comic book that I've never even heard of. But like, why would that prevent us from going to see it? That's such a dumb excuse.
That was, and I think Alive's top 20 movies to watch this year.
Yeah.
So
it's an amazing film.
You know, one comment somebody said though was, "This movie is terrible."
I tracked down that person and murdered them in cold blood, so it's fine.
Yeah.
And deleted their internet.
I'm trying to think of some of the other things to hit on with Guardians. Like, they do a really good job. Like, especially because, like, the hardest part of probably having to build the Marvel Cinematic Universe was narrowing down what, like, story like to go with.
Sure.
Because there are decades of source material for them to draw from.
Sure.
And I think Marvel's done a really good job with, like with their standalone titles, like, keeping them focused within those worlds, but also, like, having each of those, like, affect the overarching, like, collective universe of these movies. And I certainly commend them for that. And setting up the Infinity Stones, too. Like, that's a relatively complicated storyline. And that's what they're tackling, like, out the gate. And I think that's really cool. And I think they do a good job of setting it up, because especially, like, as people coming in, like, obviously these movies are just appealing to more than just comic book nerds, or they would not be doing the numbers that they're doing.
Right. It does it in such a good way.
Yeah.
Such a good way. Like, everything, I don't know, there's not, like, a complaint about the movie that I have. Like, everything, like, even from the pacing, to the jokes, to the action, to everyone's backstory, to everything about the movie is really good. Everything is really good. I don't have one thing about this movie that is just like, well, that stands out, it's kind of crappy. Like, it is just a really great all-around movie.
I do. Where are all the traditional Guardians of the Galaxy characters like Martin X and Charlie 27? Yondu's the only one that makes it in.
Fucking nerd.
I actually hated those Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm really glad none of them made it in.
Well, that was like from like the very original run, right?
From the 60s, and then in the 90s they brought them back.
Yeah, and that's I've read a couple of like the newer issues.
I have some of the 90s ones, and I'm just like, nah.
No. Well, I read I read like the most recent run. Like, I don't know if it was like necessarily a reboot, but it started out like an Iron Man was with them for a little bit.
Oh, that's the newer ones.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But like, as soon as like I turned to a page, I was like, there's a fucking talking raccoon in here who quips and shoots everything. I didn't know what Guardians of the Galaxy was 5 minutes ago, but I'm so fucking on board with this now.
Yeah.
The ones in the 90s, the only cool thing that could work in the movies, and this was they have to change where they set it up, was that their leader was Vance Astro from Earth, and he had Captain America's shield there, like, in the 22nd century, and his main weapon was Captain America's old shield, so that could kind of be cool in the movie,
weird.
They're, like, a future one, and it ends up out in space.
Yeah.
That's it.
Only if they do a U.S. Agent movie first.
Oh, dude, I would love that. John Walker is U.S. Agent.
We're nerds. Shove us into a locker and take our lunch money.
actually, Marvel's first direct-to-video movie.
U.S. Agent.
Which was shot like a canon movie. Like, U.S. Agent.
It'll be their next Netflix series. Coming with Daredevil and Luke Cage.
It could be. They're just making all kinds of stuff.
They're all over the place,
just
man.
Just snapping necks and taking no mercy. And they're like, we thought Captain America didn't kill people. I'm not Captain America.
And then Marvel's just snapping necks and cashing checks, bro. Making that Marvel bank. Yo, Dark Knight, suck the Avengers box office, dude.
Hey, man, I'm looking forward to seeing the Cyborg movie with the guy I've never heard of playing Cyborg.
Chris Klem, no love lost for DC.
I just want him to make a New Gods movie and I'll be happy. That's about it.
Or a good non-Batman movie.
Well, yeah, that would be a good start.
Hey, guys, if you can get literally one property that's not Batman right, I will give you $1 billion.
I can't tell you how disappointing it was to go see Green Lantern at midnight with my brother and dad and just walk out like, wow.
Just shaking your head.
That was good, right? We were like trying to convince ourselves like, so hard. You know.
I can tell you how disappointing it was because I went with a couple of friends. I smuggled in a pint of Mad Dog 2020, Orange Jubilee.
Oh, the classic flavor.
And I drank it all in the first 10 minutes.
Wow.
Because I couldn't pace myself. I was like, oh, this is the worst. And then I sobered up less than halfway through the movie. I was like, oh, God, I can't afford to buy alcohol in this theater. Maybe I can run across the street. I'll only miss 5 minutes. What will I miss? More shitty green slime CG effects?
That sounds bad.
I blanked on what I was going to say.
Oh, I thought you were going to fart.
Why would I announce that?
They were, in the late 90s, they were working on a New Gods animated movie, and then they pulled the plug on it. I still don't get why.
Because they looked at the Fantastic Four and the Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV movies that came out. They're like, oh man, maybe it's time to put superheroes to bed for a while. Until Blade came out.
But it was done in the style of Batman the Animated Series.
So oh, that actually would have been pretty
cool. It would have been a theatrical release. Like Bruce Timm was designing all the characters. You could see like the concept art online.
Oh man, that's a fucking tragedy then.
Yeah. Boom Tubes, I want to see those.
Oh, hell
screen.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Darkseid, Mr. Miracle.
I will say, DC Animated is doing it right. But the live action...
They don't let those guys have any say in the movie department, though.
Which is so dumb. If DC... Like, obviously Marvel movies started getting really, really good when they let Marvel fucking do that.
When they just made them themselves and they're like, all right.
Before that, like, you look at the Marvel movies, like, realistically, like, the big resurgence starts with the first Blade, because that came out before X-Men.
Yeah.
And the first two Blades are fucking amazing movies.
I remember them.
They're
really
good. Three is terrible.
I don't think I've ever seen
it. I still enjoy it.
I enjoy it.
But it's terrible. It's not a good movie.
It's not good.
I enjoy it almost primarily because Triple H. Triple H and Parker Posey are the bad guys.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's a weird combination. Yeah.
Like, what?
Also, really goddamn funny.
Watching Blade Trinity and knowing that Wesley Snipes was almost refused to leave his trailer and that most of the scenes were shot with his stunt double.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
You can really tell after you know that because, like, almost every action shot is, like, a wide shot. Even when it's not fighting scenes.
Yeah.
Why did he refuse to leave his trailer?
There was a lot of disputes.
Just like,
producers.
Fuck this movie.
Well,
it was
racist.
Garbage. It was racist.
You said David Goyer was racist.
The director?
I think you just saw that because he was mad about stuff.
Yeah. Well, some of the stuff is legit because Blade is like a secondary character in movie that he's named after.
Oh, really?
Like,
who's the main character?
Ryan Reynolds and Jessica Biel.
Yeah. Like, the movie is almost more about those two than it is Blade. And that's why it sucks. Like... Mm-hmm. So that's a huge bummer. But yeah, so like the Blade movies came out, and then the first couple X-Men's, and then the Spider-Man's, and then Marvel was like, hey.
Well, then it was like Fantastic Four.
I forgot
and
about
the
those.
Fantastic
Punisher,
Four.
And then the second Punisher, and the second Fantastic Four.
There's a second Punisher?
Punisher Warzone. Oh, technically
third
Punisher.
There's
technically.
A third Punisher?
First one made with Dolph Lundgren
in
88.
Yeah.
Second one with Tom Jane in 2003 or 2004.
2004.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
And then the third one
was
with
like
Ray Stevenson.
2008.
Yeah. And that one's actually pretty fucking good.
I mean, I see them all in the movie theater.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where he fights these guys that do parkour. And, like,
they do parkour!
It's actually really funny because he sets up this rocket launcher while all these guys are doing parkour around him. And then he shoots a rocket, and right when the dude flips off the roof, it hits him and he explodes.
Oh, I gotta see this scene.
The whole movie, it's like a super violent B movie.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And Ray Stevens. Pattinson is the best.
Are they all just called the Punisher?
No.
There's, well, the first two are the Punisher. The one with Ray Stevenson is Punisher Warzone, because that was one of the comics.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Punisher Warzone is legit.
It's like, if you ever read the first Garth Ennis run on the Punisher, it's pretty much an adaptation of that, because that one is really tongue-in-cheek and funny. Mm. And the second Garth Ennis run, somebody should adapt.
The Max run.
That would be really good, too, because it's like the opposite. It's not funny, but it's really engaging storytelling.
Are they on Netflix?
How
do we get
this
stuff?
I don't know. I own all of them.
Warzone.
Yeah, okay, so I just had to come over here.
Warzone was on Netflix for a while.
But
I
was
think,
it?
I don't think they're
I own them all,
but,
too.
But,
even the Dolph Lundgren one.
Yeah, same. So, but yeah. So Marvel obviously is doing it right. Guardians is proof of that. And I'm excited for pretty much
such
everything they're going to do.
Such a solid movie.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Avengers 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me too.
Ultron, man.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Who's going to be their best villain after this, I think.
I think that's a pretty fair statement. Well, cool. Let's, I think, is there anything else you guys want to hit on with Guardians? All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up with favorite moments. Tom?
Oh, I got to start. Dude, I was thinking about it. I was just like, it's hard to have a favorite moment. There's not, like, a real standout moment for me. Like, all of them... The movie's just so good all around. And I didn't really have a standout moment, though.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that? Maybe come back around to me.
All
right. I'll order less.
All right, I'll
I'm deciding between the steak and the chicken tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
I think graphically, I loved the at the end where he got the stone, and then they all, you know, went around and...
Like, joined the hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty dope sequence.
You know, it just, like, cracked their faces, and, like, I don't know, I just thought that was really cool, and then they showed Ronan, you know, he kind of, like, grinned, like...
His smirk.
Yeah, the smirk.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then he just kind of realized, oh, no, you know, he's gonna get blown up, and... I don't know. I thought that was really cool.
Suck it, Ronan.
Yeah.
Accuser.
That
was good when he's like smirking like I'm gonna die, and then he's like, oh.
Chris?
I have a couple.
My favorite
scene is when they're all beaten up and the ship's crashing down, the Dark Aster, and then Groot wraps them all up,
and then
he goes, "We are Groot."
That is nice.
Up,
it's like the beginning of Up all over again.
One of my favorite scenes that is not really a scene of importance, but I just love the fact that I got this guy in this, like, Jack Kirby glory, was when they're in the Collector's lab, and he's explaining how the Infinity Stones work, and then he shows them the footage of the Celestials destroying the planet, and it's, like, it's a specific Celestial, Isan the Searcher, and they have him, like, perfect, and not only does it not look goofy, it looks, like, fucking badass, and he's just this giant red robot looking dude with all these Jack Kirby designs on him, and they get him so perfect that I was just like, this movie can't be topped just for that alone.
Nice.
It's pretty great. Still, though, yeah, everything so good. I do like that the one thing that he, the one story he has to tell about Earth is Footloose. I laughed pretty hard at that. It's like, you know, the one ancient legend that he talks about the story of Earth is how, you know, people didn't know how to dance, and they had sticks up their butts, and he had to show them that dancing was the most amazing thing they could do. And then her response to that is, who put these sticks up these people's butts?
That's the best callback in the movie, too, because when they crash land, she's like, we're just like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, she does call it back. But they're hero Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to mention really quick, poor Peter Serafinowicz dying in this movie.
Yeah, being crushed.
And I mentioned this while we were watching it. Yeah. I've only know him from three movies, and it's this, Shaun of the Dead, and is the voice of Darth Maul in Phantom Menace, and he dies in all three of them.
He can't survive a movie.
It's just a real bummer, because I like Peter Serafinowicz a lot. I think he's a really, really great, really funny actor.
I love that John C. Reilly is now in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes, right. John C. Reilly.
It's can't John C. Reilly and Cruella de Vil. I think my...
Who was dressed as mom from Futurama.
Yes. I think for me, my favorite thing about this movie, I love the fucking interaction between Rocket and Groot. Like, it's with like lesser writing and crappy like CGI, it could have been the most terrible thing. Yeah. Instead, it's like that's what wrenches the emotions out of you.
Right.
It's like when he gets upset about everyone picking on him and calling him names, and then like when Groot gets killed.
Right.
Like just everything between them is so good. And they're not real. They don't... Like, they're not even people
right.
on screen
like the
doing
part
that.
Where, the part where he's like, oh, is this your pet? And you can, like, be like, oh, he didn't just say that to Rocket.
But yeah.
Like you said, it's not even a real thing.
Yeah.
It's a CGI patient. It's like, oh, he's
right.
going to be pissed.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so good. Like, and just, like, the way, like, that Rocket knows... The inflections of I am Groot enough, they know they're saying, like, yeah, I agree, they do seem ungrateful.
Yeah, that is funny.
And it's so fucking good.
I have another favorite part where he's explaining his plan, and the only person who goes with it is Groot.
Yes.
And then he immediately bites off, like, the.
Yeah, he's like, it's like the equivalent I thought of like a human like biting their toenail. Like, he's like doing something disgusting, because he kind of looks at him like that, like. Oh, great. The one guy that's on my side is now chewing his toenails.
Yeah. Rocket and Groot also leads to my single favorite shot of the entire movie. And it's during the prison break when Drax yells, "Here, furry little beast," or "furry wicked beast," whatever it is. Throws him the gun.
Oh, yeah.
Rocket catches it, cocks it, like it does that spin, and just goes, "Oh, yeah."
And
just starts out
there,
and
then
like,
"Oh,
my God, this is so
good." And then I like
the
first, then it cuts to the first person of him just like waving the gun around, firing it all over the place.
And just killing it.
The only thing that would have made it better is if he spun his finger in the air when he said it.
Oh, yeah. Coming to get you.
You can't forget the baby group.
The dancing group. It was so good. I was pretty confident in the theater. I was like, there's no way Groot's dead.
Oh,
but
yeah.
but it's still, like, you're choked up. Because you know that Rocket doesn't necessarily know that off the bat.
Sure.
And he's pretty fucking bummed
just
about it.
Love when he's holding around the stick in the pot.
Yeah. Or when Drax sits down and just pets him, just like, over him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Chris, thank you for guest hosting with me.
Thank you, sir.
Julia, Tom, thank you guys for being on the podcast. And we'll catch y'all next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.